Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Review It Yourself. Randy and Steve are back from the decision reel.
People.
What up? You sounded so disappointed when you said
people,
your podcast name. Why did you sound, you gave a big old sigh.
I do that at the start of every episode. It's meant to be like the opposite of, no offense, the American really enthusiastic kind of like, welcome to this. And mine's like, oh, here we go again. It's just something I've done for since about six episodes in.
It's tongue in cheek, Randy. You wouldn't get it.
It is.
Okay.
Sarcasm. Okay. Sorry, I should have held the sign up, shouldn't I? But am I joking? Randy and Steve are back. It's the last, unfortunately, for now anyway, Lethal Weapon film, Lethal Weapon 4, which is also Steve's favorite, I've heard. So
it is. This movie, and I'm gonna put this in here. This is the last episode, unfortunately, of our Lethal Weapon series. But with a big but here, I think we can continue our series of buddy cop movies with the Rush Hour. So it's like the same movie, but also better in some ways.
Same, but different. I like me some Jackie
Chan. Still same. Oh yeah, me too. Obviously, it's the difference is it's not a black guy with an Asian. It's still, you know, a black guy with rigs, and you know, I guess we'll delve into that.
So apparently, Jackie Chan was meant to play the character that Jet Li plays. But Jackie Chan doesn't play villains, so he said no. Because even when I was watching, I was like, Jackie Chan would be good here. But Jet Li, apparently, this was his first American film, and like American-produced film, and also the first time he played a villain. And he's so wasted in The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, after watching this.
Oh, the third movie? Oh, yeah. If that's your go-to is Jet Li is only in the third Mummy movie, you're missing out. You need to watch Cradle to the Grave. You need to watch... what was the Kiss of the Dragon? That movie's fucking wild. There's a lot of good Jet Li movies out there. The One, Unleashed. Oh man, I could go on for days. Sorry.
Sorry, that's just not really
going,
my kind of
going.
Film.
No, I got to the end there, but I wanted to make it seem like I knew more.
So we're talking about Lethal Weapon 4, or the subtitle. Apparently, not a lot of people know this. The original title was Riggs Takes the Piss Out of Everyone, but they thought that was a bit long and changed it to... I'm joking, it wasn't really, but it's Lethal Weapon.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, I would go watch that, but I don't think you could put that on a billboard.
True.
Riggs good.
Yeah, so many times Riggs gets his name shouted again.
Riggs!
Riggs! Are you drowning, Riggs? Riggs and Murtaugh are back, having in-depth discussions at wildly inappropriate times, like behind the car that's getting... I mean, I've got to ask, like, because this is the first time I saw it. Randy, I don't want to be stereotypical, but I'm guessing this is the first time you've seen it.
Yeah.
So, well, same with me. I mean, the beginning, I was like, this is like RoboCop meets Iron Man. What's going on? Just some guy in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Like, he had it made. Like, he thought of everything for that, except for the pipe getting shot with a gun, but like,
well, his whole idea was he's always going to be facing whoever he's going up against, so it doesn't matter about what's on his back. But hey, guess what? Don't get distracted by some dude in his boxers doing the chicken dance.
This is true. But also, like, I'm not being funny, but I mean, I've no doubt welders masks are quite durable, but they're not fucking bulletproof. I mean, he takes about 12 shots to that mask and nothing.
Yeah, he took a couple to the dome where I was just like, I'm not a welder per se, but I know they stop a lot of sparks, but
he had to have, like, the glass, he had to have, like, reinforced it with, like, some more
bulletproof
glass.
What's that one game, PUBG or whatever?
PUBG. Mm-hmm.
Every time I see it, the guy has that same kind of welder's looking mask on. I wonder if that's not a welder's mask, that's a bomb disposal unit mask. I think it might be.
Nah, those are bigger. They're like, unless they've got differences in the 90s.
Or like the guys that got to clip the wires, you know, like the red or the blue, shit, I don't know, green, and then they die.
I was thinking of the Hurt Locker, so I was thinking in that. I'm sure they're a lot bigger, but I mean, maybe not.
Andy's like, I'm looking it up.
Yeah, you're looking
it up. Oh, yeah, that's fucking huge.
Yeah, they are. They're massive. They are really big. And then we get, of course, the wildly inappropriate discussion where Riggs tells Murtaugh to run. You know, you've got a family, you've got kids, get out of here. And Riggs is like, Murtaugh's like, no, Riggs, you're gonna be a father. You're gonna be a dad. And then Murtaugh's like, oh yeah, Riggs is like, Murtaugh, you're gonna be a granddad.
What?
And then he immediately doesn't care about anything else anymore. He's like, you run, I have a kid on the way.
And then you get, he's like, is he black? And he's like, I don't know, he's got a helmet on. He's like, no, the father, is he black? And I was like,
okay, right, that was hilarious when he's just like, is he black? I don't know, he's wearing stuff. No, the dad.
Yeah. I honestly thought that like beginning bit, there would be a reason for that guy. I thought he'll tie into it. There'll be a reason. No, there's no reason.
They just needed something to open with, like they do in all the other ones.
Yeah.
Well, some that, and they do on. Say that it's an hour, or, sorry, a year later, or almost a year later after that incident.
Almost
the
nine
movie.
Months later.
Or nine almost months, nine months whatever,
the,
yeah.
Because of the baby, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, so I guess it didn't really matter.
Yeah, but I do like the whole, strip your clothes off, do the chicken dance. And he's like, I just wanted to see if you'd do it.
Right, which is hilarious.
Yeah, as you said, we skip forward. 9 months, and they're out on the boat with Leo with a shark for some reason, as you do. Don't question the logic, just have fun with it.
Exactly. It's absolutely hilarious, and you know it's going to go wrong. He's going to shoot the shark. He's like, don't shoot the shark!
Yeah.
And then finally, when you know the ship capsizes, and it's like, oh no, the shark.
At first, hilarious. I didn't think they were going to say anything again about the shark like getting back in the water. I was like, there's no way they can just ignore this. There's a fucking shark coming at you. I just
hilarious.
Thought they were like going to just blow right past it. And they didn't. So I was like,
I mean, how quickly does that boat sink? I mean, really, it should have set on fire. I don't think a container like that would go.
Well, hold on. The size of an oil drum coming straight down on that boat, that's a pretty big gaping hole there. And I'm pretty sure.
Why?
I'm pretty sure the water's going to rush through that. It's going to. And just,
just looked so like it just sinks perfectly vertically. And I was like, oh, that's definitely on some kind of hydraulics, but it doesn't matter. It's just
the first 10 minutes, the amount of explosions, amount of fire that they had used is insane.
Yeah, but this is the only Lethal Weapon film that doesn't have a bomb exploding in it, but lots of cars blow up for some reason. Yeah, literally, there's no bomb in this film.
I'm thinking there's really not. I mean, there's the part at the end where the guy's shooting the guy trying to escape in the SUV, and that all of a sudden blows up for some reason. But that's not a bomb.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he like machine guns the hell out of it, doesn't he? Yeah, I mean, but again, we get like the characters, don't we? Murtaugh is like a really traditional guy. Marriage, then you have your kid, all that lot. Religion. He asks Riggs, like, why he's not getting married to Lorna. The internal affairs cop from before. See, this is the problem. I've done it again. I did this on the last film I reviewed. When I'm enjoying a film, I make really incomprehensible notes. So I can't understand what I've written down.
I get
dead.
It. You're so happy and into the movie. You're like, this is fucking great. I'm just trying to write it down real quick. Exactly.
I really was. I've written down, she's dead because I'm a cop and I don't wear the ring anymore. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So it's just
ex-wife.
Ex-wife, yeah. Well, I mean, you didn't. Yeah.
Or deceased.
Deceased.
Same thing.
Well, no, ex is never mind. Doesn't matter.
But
different. Basically, where Murtaugh's saying to Riggs, why haven't you married her? What, like, you're having a kid, you're living together, you've got dogs, a lot. Why aren't you married? And he's like, well, you know, I'm not married anymore. Like, I took the ring off, but it feels like it's still there. But I do like the fact he undercuts that really, like, emotional moment by being like, does that sound like a bunch of bullshit? Does it? And I thought that's I've heard that a lot, so I quite enjoyed that.
Well, what I did like about this is they didn't just go from movie to movie and say, oh, yeah, the girl that he was with last movie, whatever, she's gone. No, they actually made it a big point that his backstory was she died, right? And they did get married, and it's a big thing for him and a hang-up for him to get over to actually want to get married. And I feel like that's super realistic, and you don't see that in these goofy buddy cop, you know, over the top action movies.
Yeah, that's true. And also you get like Murtaugh's family, like all the daughters, I think the son and the mom gets played by the same actor, actresses all the way through.
Right.
Like you don't tend to see this. Like I was going to save this point till later on, but as it gets grittier towards the end, and I thought, God, if only the fourth Die Hard could have been like this. I don't mind the fourth Die Hard, but the fact they kind of jettisoned the grittiness and just kind of went 12A, 15 on it. It was a
so you're talking Live Free or Die Hard with Justin Long?
Yeah, sorry. It was called Die Hard 4.0 over here.
Well, no. That's so it's funny. They changed the name, like just like they did with that Tom Cruise movie, the Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow. It was one of those things of when it came out, they're like, why wouldn't you just call it Die Hard 4? Right. So they launched it with Live Free or Die Hard, but then eventually it changed into that. Now, it could be just straight launched over there because I wouldn't know. I don't live there. But I remember this big media blitz about it. But also, I really like that movie. There is an unrated cut of it that pushes in. Yeah, pushes in the grit and puts back the yippee-ki-yay motherfucker in there. Because I don't know how you, even having a PG-13 movie, how you don't allow him to say motherfucker at the end of that is a travesty.
I mean, they probably would now. I mean, I've got the unrated version. It's great. But apparently the reason why they didn't use the Live Free or Die Hard thing outside of North America is because it's the New Hampshire state motto. And they were like, oh, well, the Europeans won't understand. What? Like, we can't check. Like, Live Free or Die Hard, whether you know that's the motto or not, is such a better title. But
it really is. Yeah. I mean, I get. So, I mean, well, think about the third movie, Die Hard with a Vengeance, right? Like, why? Yeah. I'm sure that was that over there. So why not keep Live Free or Die Hard? Like, fuck, goddamn. And the whole purpose of the movie is about that, too. So it just makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Stupid. So instead of saying yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, what did he say?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother, and then he shoots a gun.
Threw himself into the guy. Yes.
That's fucking stupid.
But the unrated version is... sorry, mate. Go on.
Well, yeah, the unrated version has it in there, and it just makes it that much better.
It's where it throws it in other sides, where he's talking to Justin Long's character, and he's trying to lock the door. He's like, "You fucking nuts, girl!" Then it just feels like a Die Hard film. Whereas I do like the film. I think it, you know, for a fourth film, it's decent. I thought the only bit that gets me is the whole F-14, whatever F it is. The
plane when he's bit, just and I'm jumping on top of it, and then you gotta make it crazy. And at the time, what are they going up against, right? Like every movie's getting more crazy at this point in time, so they probably were like, let's put John McClane and the Everman's on an F-14. How's he gonna take down this helicopter? I don't know. He's gonna drive a car, right? And there's going to be this like embankment, but it's going to be, you know, like the fucking in between where the cars are. And he's just going to jump out and it's going to hit it. And then the helicopter's not going to move this whole time because there's a car flying towards it. And it's going to hit and blow up. It's cool.
It is. They did a lot for real. So you got to give him props for that. Again, Leo's back. Back to Lethal Weapon. Leo's back.
Leo Gitz is back.
It was just like, man, your bilge pump. He's like, pump your fucking ass. He's just like... Yeah, that's bad out of
context. The scene where Chris Rock and him are talking about cell phones, but then they like look at each other for a second and realize like, holy shit, we get each other, is hilarious.
Yeah.
But also super dates the movie, how they're talking about cell phones, and Chris Rock's even like, man, they make them even smaller now so you lose them, and the fucking phone is a brick.
I mean, to be fair, it works in terms of like, yeah, not the size of the phones, but maybe... Because they got down to such a small size at one point, and then they decided that was just stupid.
What it was, hey, we need to make these phones as small as possible and as expensive as possible. Oh, we can watch porn on these? We need to make them as big as possible. Make it
bigger.
Bigger!
Like that. Need to see the details. I was happy for Leo at the very end when Riggs actually gave him a hug and was like being kind of sweet to him. I felt for him. I was like, good and for you. You've been aiming for this for four movies.
He goes back for like the extra hug too. Well, he hugs him. I like that story at the end where he was just like, I had a best friend who, you know, I had this frog, and he looks at him. He's like, no, let me actually tell the story. And that was like the first time where he wasn't being annoying. He wasn't being over the top. He was literally being genuine and saying, look, this is me in your obviously you're in a time of need right now because you're at your dead wife's, you know, gravesite. So I'm going to open up myself a little bit to you. And I thought it was a sweet character development thing that kind of, now you look at his character completely different through all three movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good moment. Okay. I think the plot for this drinking? One.
Sorry.
An apple. There's one apple in every bottle and it's shaped like an apple.
Why don't you stick an apple?
Is apple juice. You're it's amazing. Juice. Yeah. You don't like apple juice?
You're 34 years old.
35 years old.
To be fair, I think I've got you beaten on drinking the strangest thing, especially to Americans. So I've just finished a bottle of Yorkshire pudding beer, which is beer made with real Yorkshire puddings.
fucking horrendous.
But hey, if you like it, that's your thing. We're gonna fight here for a second. What's wrong with an apple juice?
It's 5:20 on a Wednesday. I mean, the things that we usually drink during a podcast, sure. Apple juice is absolutely not even close to one of those.
No, but
unless
I
it's
mean,
like brown apple.
No, I mean you don't have to drink every time. I'm drinking to keep my throat nice and tingly. Okay.
Good for you. Good for you. It also helps with your bowel movements.
If you want. It does.
I've had Jack Daniels
lately, so maybe it's because I'm not drinking as much anymore.
There's a Jack Daniels apple.
Solids.
To never solid.
To puddings.
So Leo gets.
Yeah, he's now a private investigator, but not a very good one.
I have a badge too.
At the end, when he takes the badge and just puts it in his pocket.
Puts it on real quick. Didn't give a fuck.
And he's like pointing to it. He's pointing to it, isn't he? Like, look what I've got.
So that part kind of confused me. So they got promoted to captains.
And then they got demoted.
And then they were like, what, for what?
Okay, they got promoted because the insurance company could not pay for them to be out on the streets anymore causing havoc, right? So they said, well, how do we do this? What do we do to get them off the streets? Well, if we make them captains, they won't be on the streets anymore. So they even make a point to saying, like, the captain's like, this is hurting me, or whatever he says, like, this is fucked up, but I got to do it. And, you know, they're making a special case to do this for you. So then at the end, even though they're still out on the streets causing havoc, I don't know why they bust them back down. Yeah.
The city's doing its own insurance or something.
That scene is fucking hilarious. Where they're just captain.
After you, captain.
Whoever's still doing this, we need to get to the bottom of this. And he just puts it back up.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, the plot's probably the thinnest of the four. I actually, until about half an hour in, I was thinking this is definitely the weakest of the lot. But in terms of plot, I don't really know what's going on with the whole people smuggling. I mean, to be fair, like they did with the second film with the South Africa thing and all those issues, it's interesting to see a film, like an action film, that is tackled something like that, because it doesn't probably more pop not popular that's the wrong word probably more prevalent now, but back then it just didn't do it. The Die Hard films don't do anything remotely anywhere near that.
I feel like this is something that's glossed over from the 90s, is that was a huge deal back then, is human trafficking, stuff like that, or like all these things, even like the apartheid or whatever that they're talking about in the second or third, I can't remember now. Was a big deal. So like what's happening basically is, obviously the plot of this, if Randy would not be such a pig here.
Sorry.
If you got a burp, you move out of the mic. Come on, guy. Rookie mistake. Perfect. Anyway,
do you fart or sneeze just to get the trifecta?
Put it right in there, yeah. Basically, I mean, the Asian people are bringing over Asian people to be slaves and work for them. And Uncle Benny is the guy that's really doing it. But I feel like there's something happening where he's not in it anymore as much, because even Jet Li's character says a couple times, like, if we were in Hong Kong or wherever, you'd be dead by now.
Yeah.
Or we'd kill you.
Well, Uncle Benny died pretty quick.
Yeah.
When he got to the place.
Not before he got high as a kite in a dentist's chair.
That's
probably
true.
One of the best scenes in it. Yeah, Jet Li, I can't remember the guy. I don't know what the character's called. I don't even think they say it. He's not one of those characters who just don't talk, apart from a tiny bit. To be fair, there was an interesting bit at the start, though, with the... remember the guard with the bullshit story from The Fugitive, who's in all the Chicago films? And he's like, oh, what's going to happen to them? Oh, we'll deport them. They cost a goddamn fortune to guys
Yeah.
And Murtaugh's just like, what happened to give me your tired, your poor, your wretched masses yearning to be free? And he's just like, oh, now it reads no vacancy. So go fuck yourself. He doesn't say that, but he says it in between the lines.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, though. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Randy's got his hand up. And yes.
Why was the little kid left behind?
I think the whole family went to that warehouse. I guess he hid.
Yeah, I thought he hid, and he wasn't
captured. Where did he hide?
I don't know. He was small. I
mean, he's pretty small, isn't he? Yeah.
Did they say he hid?
No, but I feel like because he was hiding and he didn't show up until the house was on fire, and he's like, well, shit, it's pretty hot in this cupboard. I better get the fuck out of it.
Am I the only person who thought Leo was going to turn up and save them? And I was slightly disappointed he didn't.
No, I didn't think that. I mean, now that you say that, that could have been a cool, like, oh, my God, what the fuck's happening? And then saved him or something, but...
It might have been a bit contrived, but yeah, okay. But
yeah, maybe that would have been it. Like, of course it's Leo to save him because he saved them the last two movies.
Yeah. Then we get Chris Rock didn't know he was in it either. He's kind of the ass kisser or the ass kisser. and basically they're just wondering, like, why is this guy like this? We then quite quickly find out that he has married Murtaugh's daughter and impregnated her. That sounds, yeah.
And that was impregnated her in that order. Right.
It's factually correct. It just sounds a bit odd.
You have the TDR sweatshirt on. We can let that one pass.
Yeah, it's the hoodie, actually, but yeah.
Randy, where's your shirt?
Nuts, coconuts?
Butts and coconuts, yeah.
It's in my drawer. Yeah, I think it shrank when I dried it.
Son of a bitch.
I like the backbone of trying to... He's just noises from Randy this afternoon. They're trying to figure out whether Murtaugh's on the take or not. Because he's just flashing this cash that there's no tomorrow. He's like a guy in a strip joint with loads of, like, you know, loads of $1 bills. He's just throwing money out to his kids. Here you go, $500.
Did they explain where he got it from?
Yes. So if you didn't hear this
or you weren't in it, so at the end when they're in the firefight, in like right before the end part, they're yelling at each other, Riggs and Murtaugh, about like how many bullets they got left. And then he kind of says something about like, well, how much money you got or something like that, or where are you getting this money? And he brings up the fact that his wife is now writing erotic novels under a different name. And Riggs was like, oh, because you're nailing that girl then. He's like, oh, no, I'm not. And he's like, well, that's your wife. He's like, I am nailing her. It's pretty funny.
Oh, so like, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, she's writing erotic stories, and he's like, she's making a boatload of money, but I'm embarrassed about it. I'd be like, fuck that. I wouldn't be.
Fuck that, dude. Make some books.
He's not embarrassed enough to not spend the money, though. This is what I mean.
Well, he's not really spending the money. He's giving it to his kids.
His kids.
Right. But also, also, I don't care how my wife... Well...
That's not true. Let's be careful with that one.
If my wife was writing erotic fiction and selling a boatload of it and making us monies, get it, girl?
I honestly thought he was good. I was waiting for him to say, I've been writing them. I genuinely thought he was going to say, I've been writing them.
I mean, and then that would be some Steve stuff. I'm not going to lie. If I was sitting here writing these erotic stories from the female perspective,
write any of that.
See, here's the problem.
Do it. Give me a chapter.
I'll get you a chapter.
I'll let you know how it goes. That sounded weird. I didn't like that.
You might not like the way it goes because you're gonna read this and be like, ooh. Like,
oh, Steve wrote it.
Yeah. Emily, where are you?
Could have been worse. You could have said, oh, I'll let you know if I finish. No,
that too, yeah.
Do I have this?
Yeah,
I heard it.
Thank you. I'll keep that in.
I did like when they were talking about how many rounds they had left, and he said, I have six. I have a real gun or something like that. A real man's gun.
He had a revolver. Yeah, that was funny.
And then he ran out. Was like, yeah, probably why you should get something else.
Well, and also, you got to reload it. Let me open it up and put one bullet in it.
Yeah.
Shit. All right, we're good.
Or you just wrap a new one in.
Exactly.
But whatever.
That's Murtaugh. We find out Murtaugh's taken the Hong family home. He finds them in a lifeboat after, I don't know why he doesn't just, but, I mean, he kind of explains, doesn't he, that.
Yeah, who knows who's dirty or whatever in the cops.
Oh, as you said earlier, I love the bit with the newspaper, the whole Birdman Fowles tank. And he's like, man, enough's enough. It's been a year. It's been like nearly a year. And then obviously you get Riggs, who's just like, who's doing this? This has to stop. Sticks it straight back up.
It was funny.
So apparently what they were going to do with the Chris Rock character was that was going to be an actual gay detective.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
But they decided, I don't know whether they wanted to hide him or what, it wasn't going to work. So they changed it, and I think that's where the subplot comes from, of Murtaugh being worried that he's gay and he fancies him because he's like sucking up to him. Not in that way. He's like trying to get on his good side and stuff like that. But it works because they have like a scene in the car where he's like, hey, I don't care. I don't mind. Just don't involve me in it. I'm not bothered. You do you. So
that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So the part where Chris Rock's in the back seat and he's trying to explain to him like, whatever. And he's like, oh, don't worry. I know about it. And Mel Gibson Chris Rock's in the front and Murtaugh's in the back. Yeah. And Mel Gibson Riggs is just cracking up because he knows. Hilarious.
And that's why, I guess that's why Murtaugh put Riggs in the front.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense now. I didn't know what Murtaugh thought he was going to say, but he thought he knew exactly what it was.
Well, he thought clearly that wasn't Chris Rock was gay and liked him.
Yeah.
Right. So then when he's telling him, hey, I got something I need to tell you. Mm-hmm. It's probably the worst time to tell you, but I got to you. And Murtaugh's like, no, it's all right. I know. I understand. It's okay. And he's like, but, you know, I think we need to get together, like, as a family on whatever. He's like, I don't want you anywhere near me. Like, it's fucking hilarious. We can get together for Christmas. You get the hell out of my Christmas.
And I love that Riggs, of course, is like, do you think he likes me? And he's like, it's nearly the millennium. And I just, because you hear that in so many films around this time. And that yet, like, who talks about that now, the millennium? Nobody. Just, it's a word that's just.
Well, hold on.
Gone.
That was a big deal, 97 through actually the millennium, right? Because think about it. How many times is that going to happen in someone's lifetime? It's not, right? I mean, that's a huge deal going to the next 1,000. And then just the whole like Y2K thing and all that. I was living in Canada at the time, and I remember it being on the news like every day. There was always a segment about the new millennium's coming and we need to prepare and this is a huge deal and all this shit. So you're right, though. It is, if you look at any movie, 97, 98 through 2000, there's mention of it, and it is a kind of central plot point, and we don't see that anymore.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, but the new millennium in Canada probably could have been where we were already in America, because you guys are so far behind with everything. You know what I mean?
You're not wrong. It was cold. It was a frozen, hostile wasteland. There was much work to be done if we were to survive the elements. Sorry, that was a Jim Carrey.
It's not gay.
That's a Jim Carrey joke. He's like, my good friend Nantuk and I used to... Sorry, continue.
It's all right. It's fine. You can't knock a good Jim Carrey.
You cannot.
I just love the whole like, oh, why is Leo following us? I love the fact that Leo, like, they're not, because it would have been so easy to like think of a really stupid way to just force him into the film, because we want Joe Pesci and we want the character, but they always seem to find a good way of getting him into the film. Like, oh yeah, he's become a private investigator and he's tailing us to find out. I don't know why I got confused there. And I love the interactions again between like Joe Pesci and Gibson and Danny Glover. I thought it was great.
The scene in which they're just like, what we do is we get Leo to tail him. And he's like, yeah, but he's a bad tail, so he's going to find him. Yeah. And he might shoot him. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Let's get him to tail him.
We find out that the family, shock horror, the Jet Li's after, is the one that's staying with Murtaugh's family, the Hongs. Jet Li then kills the captain of the boat, who's the guy who Riggs runs after and chases him across Chinatown. Where is this set again? So Los Angeles, I don't know where it's set.
Yeah, Los Angeles, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah.
Then
we somehow flash to a prison in China where these four guys are getting transported, presumably to America. This is the only bit where I was thinking I don't really know what's going on here.
Are the forefathers?
Yeah, the forefathers, yeah. Who were, excuse me, were they all his? Were they his family? Is that all it was? Just the way his family?
I didn't understand who the fuck they were at all.
So they tried to say and bring it up where it was like they're like these bad triad gangster dudes and they were locked up for a while. And the whole idea was they were getting money together to give to this general who was corrupt so they could get them out and apparently either go back to China or wherever they're from or go out on the streets here and run amok and have, you know, their gang all back together. I think only his brother was in it, and then the other guys were just part of the gang, and there's the old guy there that he brought the glasses to and everything. It was definitely being played to be more than it was, and it didn't really show as much as I wanted to see, but it was a cool idea because you need to have that there for Jet Li's character to have any type of, you know, wanting to do anything.
Yeah, it did feel a bit, I don't know if they took scenes out, but that did feel like the weakest part of it. Like, I felt like I didn't really need to see the prison bit. You could have just had them turn up at some point and be like, oh, this is who he's trying to free. Because although I did like the bit where they started shooting the heart of each other. That was pretty fun. The cops just run out of the way.
You need something there, right? I mean, it's a Lethal Weapon movie. So are we here for the plot?
No, but I do think this is the weakest of the four.
Thanks.
But it doesn't matter.
Why did Jet Li's character seem to have like a hold over Uncle Benny? Wasn't Uncle Benny the one that was like doing everything?
No, so the way I took it was he was part of the actual gang that's coming from Asia, wherever I can't remember if it's China, Japan. Yeah, Jet Li was from the main thing, and he was coming over with all these people to get those gangsters back for them. And Uncle Benny was the guy who had and had been running, I guess, the, you know, whatever chapter of the gang it is in L.A. And he kept saying to him, like, yo, if we were back in the old country or whatever, you'd be fucking dead by now. So to me.
Well, he said that to Riggs, didn't he?
He said it a few times.
Right. But he said it to Uncle Benny like three times, like if we were in Hong Kong or wherever, you'd already be dead kind of thing. To me, it's he's either being sent by higher-ups or he's part of the higher-up group that's coming over, and this is the chapter that's being run there, and he's obviously taking over because he fucking killed Uncle Benny and everybody else.
Because at first, when we first saw him, I thought he was just like a security kind of
like
person.
A henchman or something.
Yeah.
Like an enforcer. Yeah, I thought too.
Right.
But then turns out he's part... Then it turns out he's part of, I think, is it the he's part of the triad, and that's who the other four people are, including his brother. And to be fair, though, Jet Li and his little gang do not mess around. Like that scene, because I was watching the film thinking it's a bit weak, this one. I was enjoying it, but I thought the plot. And then all of a sudden, like, the tone changed in a good way. So, like, they set, like, tie them all up and set fire to the house. And I was like, are they not messing about? It's not like they throw, like, a rag in the corner. They're proper all-out go for, like, yeah, you guys are dying in here. And would have done, if not for Ping, the little boy from the family who, as you were asking, Randy, I presumed little he Ping was just hiding somewhere. And I presume Steve was as well. So I just thought he was hiding somewhere. But then I wondered, like, why wouldn't the people who took the family think, well, where's the kid?
Yeah.
Well,
didn't know he was there.
Well, I got what you're saying. Yeah, maybe they didn't know how many family members came over, and they were only really worried about the main guy who was looking for his uncle, right? So I think they just wanted the family to use as a bargaining chip for that guy to finish the job, which once they had him, hey, I'll kill everybody else too. So it worked out. Now, I don't know. So did they let them go after that? Because they find the family minus the uncle, right? But did they kill the guy that was making the plates?
Oh, yeah, they kill him. They kill him. He gets killed by, because they say, oh, I don't think you see him get killed.
You see him get
killed. You see the uncle, you see the dad get, the one who has the heart to heart with Murtaugh with the whiskey, the tequila. He gets killed. Although he gets like hit in the neck, and I was like, is he knocked out? Is he dead? But he's dead. And then they kill the uncle, but I don't think they mention, they don't show you that. And then it comes back and he says, oh, they've killed the uncle, they've killed Benny, they've killed Father Hong.
Yeah, because to me, it would make way more sense to kill the guy who made the plates for you to, you know, if anything comes up about asking, is this funny money? It's not, right? Like, that guy's dead. Also, I want to bring it back to Rush Hour. What happens in the first Rush Hour movie, Randy?
I don't remember.
Oh my God.
My they're favorite one is my favorite one is the third one.
Okay, they're making funny money there too. So again, with plates, triads.
Now ipso facto.
Don't yet, because we're gonna watch it for the next installment.
I can still watch it. I could watch it so many times.
Okay, touche.
We used to live in my aunt's house. It's gonna be a little backstory about me. We used to live in my aunt's house when she moved out. It was kind of like I think it was foreclosed on, but nobody would tell me because I was young. And we had like one of those big TVs, like, you know what I'm talking about, Steve, like the really big TVs. You give me like, oh my God, this is such an amazing TV. You win like the Moose Lodge TV or something.
Yeah.
With like the big old back.
Yeah, the projection.
The TVs, only movies I had were Rush Hour and Elf. So I was watching those on repeat. So the first two, I was like, okay with. The third one, that's all me.
And you so still didn't remember the plot of it.
Yeah.
This fucking guy.
It's been like 17 years since then.
Yeah, touche.
Yeah.
Touche. It's been a while since those
movies. But I can't wait to get to those movies. It's going to be fun.
Oh, they're good movies. They're good. Yeah.
I'll have to get around to those. Like I said, I think I've seen maybe one or two, but I cannot remember them. It was years ago.
Interesting.
I don't even know if I have seen them, to be perfectly honest. I think I've seen one, but I don't know. I think I've seen one of them, but I don't know which one it was, and that doesn't help at all.
That does not.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing to go on. There's not much to go on. That's nothing to go on. I did like the fact they had the whole Riggs feeling out of shape. Like, oh, you're getting too old for this shit. Because I worked out if Riggs is as old as Mel Gibson was at that point, that would have made him 42. And that, I mean, that's getting on for him, you know, for the for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how old Murtaugh's meant to be, like 60 at this point or so much. I tell you what, scene I really, really enjoyed, and I was like, this is quite inventive, was the scene where Riggs is fighting the guy, and I don't know what you guys call them. Do you call them trailers? Like we call it like a static caravan or a holiday home. Yeah.
Yeah, mobile home, trailer home.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. I like it's not plasticine, Jesus Christ. The plastic. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the plastic sheeting they've got. There's definitely another word for it, but it doesn't matter. And they're fighting up against that, because I thought that was a really good visual, because like it looks good and it also makes sense.
It was funny because
I'm trying to think of what it's called.
It's just a double wide.
You know, the plastic part that he was talking about.
Oh, the plastic.
Yeah. Plastic.
Plastic sheeting. I don't know. But it makes for a cool visual, right? Where you're seeing half the house open and they're fighting in the house and he's driving next to it, just looking over at it like, all right, this is kind of tight. And then obviously, you know what's going to happen. They're going to get thrown through it and then all that ensues. But that guy gets fucking demolished by that truck when he's just stands up on the road.
I was so happy when they showed it. I was like, yeah.
Me, you don't actually see it. Do you just see him nailed in front of it and then?
Oh no!
You see him flip off.
Yeah, you see him get hit by it.
Oh, we didn't see him get hit in my version.
Oh no!
You see him kneel up. You see him kneel up in front of the truck and then it cuts. What version did you have?
What? We saw him get hit by the corner of the truck and start flipping.
Oh yeah, he was like, "Bleh!" and just like,
like a ragdoll.
Oh, we didn't see that.
Like, queued up on this guy here.
Fucking European sucks. Versions, what a shit.
Goddamn
European.
Do you think? God damn it. So, when Riggs breaks off that leg of the table, do you think he could actually throw that through a windshield?
Sheer velocity. I thought the same thing.
I think
thing.
He could.
I think he could. I don't think it'd go through. I think it probably would have bounced off.
It would have bounced off for sure. I mean,
you think so?
Yeah, but he could have thrown it.
Well, the car's coming
at
him at least like 65, 70 miles an hour. He throws it.
It doesn't go that. he doesn't throw it very far. I think if the card had been further away and it could have picked up, I suppose. No, I reckon it probably could have done, to be fair. I thought, yeah, that makes sense. Sheer velocity and stuff, but
I don't know science. So
no, I don't
math.
Know. What is science?
Maths.
Nobody knows anymore.
Is our children learning? Sorry.
We're learning here.
You're pulling it up.
I did enjoy the stunt work's pretty good. Well, the stunt work's amazing throughout, to be honest. And I love the bit where they drive through the building, like the fly off the, what do you call them?
Freeway, motorway. Yeah.
Go through the building and then like fly back onto it. Which I thought was brilliant.
The one thing I hate about these movies is when like they're talking, like the dialogue so quiet, and the action loud as fuck. So you have to have it up for when they're talking, but when something happens like that, it was insanely loud in my living room.
That could be the settings on your sound bar.
Let's not talk shit about everything that I own, Steve.
No. I'm honestly not talking shit. I'm just saying that there are settings that are made specifically for
you. Movies. Were supposed to come set up everything, and I don't remember if you did or not.
I didn't. You're supposed to call me.
You know where I live. You can just come over whenever.
I don't come over unannounced. Okay, I'm not my parents. Oh, wait, well, I won't buy it.
Welcome to marriage counseling for you. Randy, how do you feel? with my hands.
I'm not okay. Not okay.
Sorry, I hurt you.
I'm used to it.
Could have used some anesthetic. Speaking of anesthetic, or whatever you guys call it, the dentist scene where they give Uncle Benny the nitrous oxide, the laughing gas, which, funnily enough, coincidentally, today has just become illegal in the UK. There you go. But a trivia.
You can't use anesthesia anymore.
No, laughing gas. Sorry, nitrous oxide. Sorry.
What is it? Yeah. Anesthesia is the one they put you out. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the one where you get knocked out.
Is anesthetic? Is that not still classed as a gas? Not. It's like a gas anesthetic. Well,
yeah.
As if it fucking matters. Why am I? It doesn't matter. Just ignore me.
You can't. So you guys can't have laughing gas anymore.
Well, you could buy it in little things, and it was getting abused. So. Right. You see that there?
That's what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah, my scene, literally the version I watch, which is a DVD.
Yeah.
Right. The last shot you get is where he kneels up in front of the bus, and then it cut away. You didn't see the bus hit him.
Yeah, no. One he gets fucking demolished. He's done.
I'm not happy. I'm gonna write a letter to my MP.
I would do it.
Uncle Benny says, "I'm sleeping with my wife's two sisters." I love that. That made me.
That
really
was
laugh.
Funny. That was funny.
She's gonna be so mad when she finds out. No shit, Uncle Benny. No shit.
Yeah. Goddamn Uncle Benny.
Can't do that.
What a Jesus. Yeah, honestly. Then obviously we find out it's money laundering, that the uncle is an artist, but obviously they forced him to be kind of an engraver for them to make sure the money can pass muster. Then they this is the bit where they kill Uncle Benny, Hong, and his uncle. The dad of the Hong family and the uncle. You find out Jet Li's a triad. Oh, and I also wrote down, you wait all day for a train to come and then two come at once. That bit where they try and push Biggs out of the tracks.
You're right.
That's crazy scheduling.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, this is fucking lucky there's another train coming because that thing was fucked. And it didn't also, even like explode. It was just on fire.
Yeah.
It was still alive.
It was burning alive, getting pushed.
Also, wouldn't those cars just half? It wouldn't just get pushed. They would just... And then
They pulled the brakes on it. It could have been slowing down a little bit.
Okay. I'll give you that one. But also, if I'm ever getting pushed across the tracks, I'm just going to go drive and keep going straight. I'm not going to try and stop.
This is the problem. America, you have automatic cars. Now, if you had a manual car that might have helped you in that situation. It's the same situation as Steve's mentioned Rush Hour and loads of other films, so I don't feel sorry for doing this. The final destination, the fourth Final Destination film, where she's in, it's a great scene, but where she's in the car wash and she's trying to get out, and the wheels are just spinning. If she was in a manual car, put it in first gear, and you could drive out of that, reverse, drive out of that very, very easily.
Even though not in that type of car wash. So those car washes, they have this bar that comes up behind your wheel, so it keeps moving and you're on a track. So you're locked in. So even if you try to put it in gear, the whole idea is
jump over it.
You can't get out. Now, depending on the car you're in and the size of wheels, maybe you could get over it. But I specifically remember watching this going, yeah, she fucked. But your idea is valid.
Well, I still think she has a better chance of getting out. Probably, I forgot there was a bar. I think we've mentioned this before. I probably have. Probably moaned about it before. But it probably would have helped in that situation just to, you know, instead of putting it in drive, just get it in first gear and fly out of the way.
You're right.
It's quicker. Faster.
That was good. Yeah, that was good.
That was pretty good. That was really good, actually.
What is it? Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Before you keep going, do your best American accent.
I can't. Honestly,
no, you got
it. I do it all the time, and it's just like,
You can do it.
Fucking hell. I have to be thinking about something to say. It'll come to me. I'll try one in a bit.
So there's a great video I've seen of this Asian guy who's like super Asian, and the guy's like, hey man, do your American impression, and he goes, hi Chuck. it's hilarious, and he's just like, do you want to talk about your car insurance? Like it's the funniest thing I've seen in a while.
Yeah,
it's the eyes. It's him pulling the eyes open to.
Yeah. Thanks for describing it. I wrote down, I've got to be honest, I wasn't following a lot of what was going on at first, but who cares? Like, I didn't really know who the people were, but I didn't care. And that's me. You know how pernickety I can be, and I genuinely didn't care. And that's all respect to the film, really.
I think that's saying something for the movie itself. Is if the plot doesn't matter, but you're still having fun with it, it's that must mean
watch.
That it's a fun movie. And like, I think we've lost sort of that in movies. I know we talked before about how Netflix is dumbing down movies, so you don't actually have to be paying attention because most people are looking at their phones anyways. But this movie, well, you can do that same thing. It still has enough of a good story there that if you are paying attention to the whole thing, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. For the most part.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, well,
there's definitely some spots where, like, if you aren't watching, you're gonna miss something.
Well, yeah,
but it's not enough to like not understand what's happening in the movie.
Correct. And then also, you want that though in a movie. Like, I hate the whole, I don't need to be paying attention to know what's going on, because why am I not paying attention if I'm watching
a movie? Especially if you end up paying for it.
Yeah.
Right.
I've just
sorry, well. Randy.
Son of a bitch. His Plex wasn't working. I had to pay for it.
We're gonna figure this out somehow.
So yeah, speaking of my American accent, there's an episode I did where I copied because I collaborate with Bill from Bill Reads Bad Views. He's a Texan, lives in Florida.
Bill. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, it's a bromance. And I did a whole episode where I basically ripped off his podcast but tried to do it in his voice. So it's ropey, but I quite enjoyed it.
We need a sampling. I'm sorry.
Trying to think.
Read the next line that you have to
read. American.
An American.
Food and American.
Oh,
you
God,
can do it.
You can edit it out if you don't like it.
See, the thing is, yeah, but like, I can do like a generic shitty American, just nothing. But I also can try and do like Southern. Yeah, so which is even worse. I can't.
Yeah. Steve can do his English accent after, so it's fine.
It'll just sound Australian.
Oi, prick. I don't know. What is...
That wasn't bad, yeah.
I watch The Boys a lot.
I fucking love that show.
Have you watched Gen V yet, Randy?
No, not yet.
Do it tonight, like when we're done with this. On Amazon.
I'm watching Vampire Diaries.
You've seen it.
Vampire Diaries?
Yeah.
I haven't finished it.
Okay. So watch one episode of that and then watch one episode of Gen V.
That's not how my household works.
His wife won't let him.
For one, it's your house. For two,
I like the fucking show and I want to watch it.
So don't go through it so quick. One episode a day.
I'm already on season 5. It started like 2 months ago.
Exactly. Chill out.
And back to you, Sean.
Yeah, it's American. Trish's.
It was almost American.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You got to put the old, well, back in my day.
Well. Oh, what is it he says on Friends? I was watching it today. Where he insults what's her name? The one that Ross marries and she's English. I can't stand her in that accent.
That's Randy. Fuck Friends. I've never seen it.
I forgot her
he's
name.
Like, hey, man, if you think we're paying for your lawn ornament, you got another thing coming. You would be speaking German if it wasn't for us. Sad little man. That's
pretty good.
That was good.
It's terrible. Go on, then. What's your English like?
What's my English like? I'm speaking English.
I didn't say me.
Americans don't speak English. You've butchered
English,
it.
What's your ding-dong. English
accent attempt like?
I'm not American, though.
Sorry, but
you're
fucking
Canadian. Just do your goddamn English accent.
Just take the hockey stick out your ass and just do the impression.
Oh, fuck there, bud. I could do the Canadian accent there pretty good there, eh? And
nobody cares about that one.
Oh.
It's pretty good there, eh? Oh, no, that was Australian. See, I tried to do Canadian and go Australian.
It goes to Australian. I don't know. So you're saying what? Do an English accent? An English accent.
Well, you can try to do BBC.
English.
The boys.
From the BBC. I don't know.
Yeah,
That's all I got. I'm trying to think
about
it. It
wasn't bad.
It wasn't too bad.
I don't have any accents, so don't ask me. I can't do any.
It's all right. Oh, then Butters finally turns up and takes a shot for Murta. Then Murta tries to shoot Jet Li. I don't know who his character is. But Jet Li does this, like, jerk out of the way. And his brother gets shot and dies in his arms. And it made me laugh when Riggs was just like, he was just like, oh, now you've really done it. I was like, yes, he has.
Okay, that scene is great where they're looking at each other and he's like, look, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. This guy's not worth dying over. And it's not, you know, whatever. And then he's just like, but he took my gun apart with one hand. Like, how did he do that? And they're looking back at each other. And then they're looking back at him. And Murtaugh's like,
all right, that's
all right. I guess we're going to go and ask him, huh?
So well shot as well. So like the rain and the flames and the
so that whole fight scene at the end, there is no music going on. I was like, yo, this sounds cool. Now the sound effects kind of were a little shitty for me. Like the punches were, I don't know, not
a bit Indiana Jones.
Yeah, like kind of meh. But having no music behind it, I just really liked it because it felt real. It felt like in your face, and this is the final stand of Murtaugh and Riggs and this Asian guy.
It was pretty brutal, wasn't it? It was, I mean, like, Riggs' shoulder comes out again. Seriously, man, get some fucking physiotherapy.
It takes him two times to get it back in, too. I was like,
but hold on, is that not well, like, thought out character development where if you look at any other movies, his fucking shoulder comes out, right? So now he's got to put it back in, but shit, he couldn't do it the first time. Now he's got to do it again the second time. They're getting old, man.
And the fact he uses it to get out of the boxing fight with the younger man, because the younger cop, and he's like,
yeah,
like I can't. I had to get out of it. Murtaugh stabs. I've wrote Lee down. Is that his name? Oh no, Jet Li. Sorry. Fucking hell. With some rebar. Yeah, decent. And then
decent.
They fall. Fucking hell. Then they fall into the sea, and he magically finds an AK-47 down there, and shoots the shit out of him. That's pretty much it. Peppers
which
him.
Was kind of cool. I'm not gonna lie. When Jet Li's face floating in the water was kind of sad when he was dead. I was like, maybe he shouldn't have been such an asshole.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know.
That's on him.
Yeah, his name was, oh man, Wasing Ku.
Riggs goes to see the grave of his wife Vicky, his deceased wife, not ex-wife Randy, and he asks her if, like, you know, what do? I love the other woman. I've forgotten her name.
Wouldn't she be an ex-wife?
Anna? Well, no, because ex-wife means you've divorced them.
But she is dead.
She's still his wife. Like, he didn't. Well,
oh, if you're getting remarried, would you say
gotta be divorced?
Right. How does that work in the state of in the court of law? I have to get divorced from my first wife to get married to a second wife.
Well, no, the marriage would end upon her till death do us part.
So is that not your ex-wife?
No, it would be first wife who's died. No, because she's dead.
My previous wife, my estranged, my...
You can't be married to a corpse, so fucking hell, that was strong.
In some states, you can.
Really? Okay. Jesus H. Christ.
Hey, man, I'm just here for the laughs.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't get to do this on my show because I'm the one running the show, so I got to be the straight guy.
You go for it. Yeah, again, I liked, like you were saying earlier, Randy, I liked the fact that Leo turns up, tells his story about the frog, which, to be fair, credit to who wrote it and credit to Joe Pesci for actually pulling that off. Who the hell, like, because it starts off like, what is he talking about? And it works. And you kind of see how much, like, Riggs and Murtaugh mean to him. And the film has such a good sense of humor as well, like the bit where, like, he's like, oh my God, I'm having a baby. And his beeper goes off, his baby beeper. And then you just see, like, I'm a police officer. I am not ready. And like, try to wheel her down the corridor. And then she grabs this woman, like, give me that, grabs this woman's IV. And then, you know.
That's like shit.
Yeah, what's that smell? Like, well, I was going to the toilet. She dragged me over here.
And then Leo grabs that guy's cup. He's like, hey, that took me all day to fill.
He's like, get over here, little son of a bitch.
Dude, the end of this movie is pure, just falls to the wall humor.
Yeah.
It's also chaos at the same time.
It's great.
Yeah.
A Jewish rabbi turns up and he's like, hey, you said get anyone. And he's like, hey, what the hell? And they kind of get them not married, but just so she can hear the words, whatever. Riggs then meets his son. Butters and Murtaugh meets their son and grandson. And the whole, to be fair, I kind of don't want them to bring it back because this is a good ending for the series. I think it feels like a nice ending. Like it just doesn't feel like you need to. I thought for a moment they were going to foreshadow, like, oh, here's a son and there's a son, so maybe they could be partners in future in terms of cop partners. Or not, it's the millennium. But just, you know, I thought that's what they were talking about. I thought that was like, but they didn't really foreshadow it. The whole, are you friends? No, we're family.
I mean, you got to have the nice ending.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm okay with it.
So, corny.
It was. I didn't mind. But my verdict for it overall was, in my opinion, the weakest plot of the series, but it's got such a good sense of humor, gritty and action-packed, and with a heart, as these films have been, that you just don't care. You genuinely don't care. And I probably my least favorite of the series, but, I mean, still pretty solid.
Why I always said that this is my favorite is because of the frantic pace to open this movie, and then it just continues. Like, it's not like there's a huge action set piece after action set piece, but this movie just feels like once it's on, and it just keeps going until the end, and even the end's fucking frantic, like we just said, and then you're, I don't know, you just have a smile on your face the entire time. Chris Rock's here being his Chris Rockiest in the 90s, and he plays so well against Danny Glover, and even Mel Gibson's killing it, and then you have fucking Leo Getz being the top. I think he's the best actor in this movie. He does a great job. Joe Pesci just kills it and makes me want to see him just have his own standalone movie as Leo Getz. Just call it I'm Gonna Get You or something. And I would watch it.
I'm Gonna Get You.
Right.
I love like,
Go ahead.
Sorry, go on, mate. I have to ask.
Every time they're in their house, that house always gets fucked up. It's always hectic when you're in that house. There's something going on. This is the third movie where the house has gotten fucked up by something.
How many people have been killed in that house? Is that the fucking Amityville Horror?
It's
there?
Way too many people.
They got way some ghosts people. In there. They should make a Lethal Weapon Halloween movie where it's just the fucking dead people just haunting everybody in there. Murtaugh at night. Trying to, I'm too old for this shit. And that ghost is like, motherfucker, you killed me. I blew up in this house. I'm haunting you for my whole life. Remember that toilet upstairs that blew up? Yeah, I'm going to be there every time.
Have the fun. The guy that got nailed with the nail gun as well.
Oh my God, I forgot. Yeah, he's just got the nails shooting out of his head, like staring at him as he's taking a dump every time. Like, this is us forever.
So many.
Yeah.
The poor house. And the poor insurance company.
Oh, I know, right?
So much money.
I know, but can you imagine being
in the line of duty?
Yeah. Gotta be a limit, though.
There has to be.
It's gotta be a point when, like, right, can you just move? The poor neighbors as well. Can you imagine? Can you imagine living next door to that?
Well, there's a guy at the end that comes out. He's like, oh, man, sorry to see your house. He's like, oh, thanks, Jim.
Don't say sorry for your loss. Say sorry for your loss.
Something like that. And it's like, I would be out there going, oh, again? Get the fuck out of here, man.
But first of all, the guy getting his has shit beat in 50%. Fucking front yard.
Right, every other
announce the house.
Yeah. Do you know how many times my car has been stuck in my driveway? You know, it's something like that. You know, just how many times does that road get cordoned off by the police? The idea must be like, oh, hey, honey,
weekly.
Road's blocked off again.
Fuck!
Like, God's sake. Bags,
we're moving.
Right. I'm going to be late. Why? Because I'm stuck at the beginning of the driveway.
Jerry, happened again. Yeah.
Was that a cul-de-sac, too? Like, could they even get out of there?
Yeah, I think it's like a close. Yeah, I think it's like a, one way in, one way out.
Terrible.
Very, very easy to cordon off, but no through traffic, but still.
Yeah,
silver lining. you guys got any more points about the film you'd like to go through?
There's the one scene where they're chasing the guy in the transport truck. We talked about it with the half house on the back of the truck. Does that guy not look out his rearview mirror or the side mirror?
He had
to
have fucking seen something,
right? Like the guy saying, "Hey, pull over!" Oh, this guy's got a fake badge. He's trying to pull me over. You're not seeing behind you all the cars running into each other. Also, how about all the other people on the road with them? Why are they keeping up with them in traffic? Why wouldn't they just slow the fuck down? Stop. Right.
Especially when somebody's dragged or being like dragged by plastic behind a truck.
Right. You're not just
stopping.
Yeah. You're not just going to like watch them and be like, hey, how you doing? What's up? I'm just going to keep cruising. I got to get, hold on. It's LA traffic. It looked like it was in the morning. So they had to get to work.
Yeah, but
maybe that's not
the
craziest. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That might not be the craziest thing they've seen that day. It's just normal.
There's probably OJ before that, so.
Exactly. So they're just like, I got to get to work. I don't care what the fuck's going
sorry,
on
guys.
Beside me. Yeah. I take it back. I figured it out.
Yeah. And also, as well, the bit at the beginning where they're like, with that guy with the flamethrower, where they're like, it's where they're going to drive at him, aren't they? And they spend ages discussing it. I'm like, you could have fucking hit him by now. Like, pray with me. Pray with me, man. Pray with me he doesn't turn around. I'm like, just knock him over. Just run him down. Like, what are you doing? Or aim the car and jump out. Anything. Rig the brake. Yeah. Rig the pedal.
Rig it. Briggs it. Riggs. Riggs.
Riggs.
God damn it. You know, I mean, I'll just add, like, this whole series has just been a joy to watch, and I'm glad that we did this because it's been a while since I sat down and watched the Lethal Weapon series. And yeah, this is, when was our first episode that we did with Lethal Weapon? We did it on our show, right? On the Decision Reel.
Yeah. Which I had not realized because I was looking back through thinking, right. Just looking at what episodes I've done with different people. And I thought, where's Lethal Weapon 1? Where is it? And I was thinking, it's, wasn't on mine. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to redo it.
We got to redo it. I think we did it. It was a How Have You Not Seen This episode that we did, and that was on November 21st, 2022. Look at us almost a calendar year later on November 8th. I don't know when this is going to come out, but hopefully maybe November 21st. That would make it sweet. November 21st, 2022. Yeah,
it's
a perfect put a bow on it.
Do you know what? I can bump my schedule about and I can bring it out on the 20th. So I can bring it out for the year. Yeah.
If you been a year. We did it. That's when it came out. I don't know when exactly we sat down. I don't think it was very long I normally turn and burn our episodes pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I could probably look at when we did, but it don't matter. So if you want to go check that out, if you are still listening here and staying with us through the madness that is Review It Yourself with the Decision Reel, Steve and Randy, you can check out our episode at thedecisionreel.com and then go to the How Have You Not Seen It section. And we did that with Sean because Randy never saw the first Lethal Weapon. And I don't think at that point, Sean, you saw it either.
I've never seen any of these before.
Right. So yeah, that made perfect sense of why it did why we did that. We also have some other stuff for How Have You Not Seen This, starting with the first ever episode with Randy of Star Wars. He never fucking seen Star Wars.
Yeah, and now I'm stuck on, I haven't finished four yet.
Yeah.
The one, like, when they're in the woods. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, with the Ewoks?
Yeah.
When they're on Return of the Jedi.
That was the last one. Halfway through. And maybe we'll do, maybe we'll do an episode, or bonus episode of the new movie, Thanksgiving.
Oh, right. Well, apparently
we could do that.
Is it just called, it's called just Thanksgiving, right?
Thanksgiving, it's
yeah. There was a movie once, yeah. It was called Thanksgiving. It was with a giant turkey.
This one should have been called No Leftovers. The amount of times they promoted that.
I like that. No Leftovers.
Yeah. Whatever. Should get paid.
I'm going in. I'm going into that movie blind. I guess look for that if you want to see some crazy shit from us. We're going to do an extra real episode of Thanksgiving coming out.
Yeah.
Maybe on, when is Thanksgiving? We're American
not,
Thanksgiving.
Not next Thursday. The Thursday after that. We can drop it then.
Well, are we seeing? We're seeing the movie on. We'll fucking figure it out. But maybe we'll put it out on this. Thanksgiving. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who might knows? Be a special Thanksgiving episode. Cool. Sorry, Sean. We took over your show there.
Hey, I know how important food is to Americans / Canadians. It's fine.
Yeah.
What Yeah, you've given the links, haven't you? Yeah, that's your lot, I think.
Kind of, yeah. But I mean,
this is real at Facebook, yeah. Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. You can find us there, or you can go to the website, like Steve said. Maybe you can find some merch too if you like what you're listening to with us.
We got sweatshirts apparently that Sean bought. How comfy are they, Sean?
Yeah, yeah.
Hoodie, nice, really nice actually. Hoodie, nice, thick. Hoodie, yeah. Good. Oh, well, it's okay. You call these sweatshirts? Don't have a hoodie.
No, we call them hoodies, but also sweatshirt at the same time. Same thing. Same, yes. But different.
Yeah,
but
sweatshirts don't have hoods. It doesn't matter. Yes, the argument aside, the hoodie's very, very nice. The print's good. Because I was worried at first it was going to wash off, but it hasn't. It seems to be really quite durable. So, yeah, and it's warm as well. I've worn it to the football match, so what?
What football match did you go see on the pitch?
We played...
That's what they call the field, Brandy.
I know, you're just studying. How did you know that?
Because I know things.
You'll be okay.
I drink and I know things. I can't remember. We're playing Fulham. I can't remember.
I just finished Ted Lasso, so maybe that's why I know. It's a good show. If you haven't watched it, definitely watch it. It's very good because it's more about mental health than it is about anything. And it's very well done. Top tier recommendation from Steve.
Cool.
Like that means anything.
Means a lot. But yeah, on that note, thank you to everybody for listening. You're listening to Review It Yourself, the podcast with the sigh. No politics, no pandering, no point. You can find us wherever you find your podcasts. If you can leave a review, please do so. It helps. If you're going to leave me a one-star review, I don't mind. I really don't. But if you could comment why, I could just ignore it. But no, it would help. But yeah, that's your lot. Thank you for listening. Oh, yeah, I've been Sean, your host, by the way, if you haven't realized, because I was told recently that I never introduced myself.
So wait till the end, but you know,
whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wait till the end to introduce yourself. That's all good.
Well, if they're still here, then fair play.
Yeah.
Shay.
And yeah, thanks to everyone for listening, and cheers to you guys. And here's to a year of podcasting between the two of us. And many more, hopefully.
Podcasting.
Just end it.
Get it in, get it on, and enjoy the vlog.
Welcome to Film Vloggers.
Oh, harder, Daddy.
The only film review podcast, thankfully, that poses the question, does watching this film feel like flogging a dead horse?
There he is, beating that dead horse!
Introducing your hosts. First up, her Irish potty mouth turns the air a whole new shade of blue. It's Fiona. Say hello, Fiona.
And why the f*** is Dan Macca's doing our intro?
I want me gold!
That's great. It's great. She's adorable. And your second host needs no introduction. The man, the myth, the legend. Like, I said I'd do this. I said I'd do this for you. I'm not reading this. It's the guy who waffles too much. It's Ben.
Cooey!
I'm making waffles.
So what are you waiting for? Grab your whip, mount your dead horse, and let's get on with the flog, shall we?